How many know that God's people must obey God's word to get God's results? So I know, Oak Grove, your heart, and I know you want revival, okay? But you're not going to get revival sitting on your hands. You're not going to get revival with your lips closed and your mouth shut, because there's life and death in the power of the tongue. And I don't know, maybe that we haven't realized the power of praise. I think you're deeply praying. You praise God all the time, deeply. A lot of you have a shout on the inside. But today my goal is to get that shout on the inside, on the outside. Because although you might hear your shout, Satan doesn't hear your shout. And the shout that Satan has is intimidating the shout that you have. And it's hindering things in the atmosphere from happening. Are you with me? Say amen. If you're with me. Okay, so let's deal with this, because I think we need deliverance, but we need to delight in the deliverance God has for us. Now, how many have a situation, anybody here, have a situation that you could use some intervening grace? Anybody? Okay, there was, so all around we have needs that we need deliverance from. So we need to delight in the, this is why we don't delight in the deliverance. Because the problem is so big, we can't seem to shout about it. Nobody shouts when you're in the surgery room. Nobody shouts when you're in the bankruptcy court. Nobody shouts when you're in the divorce court. Nobody shouts. You see? And so Satan intimidates and people shut down. But I want to share something with today that the Lord gave me today that I hope to break through on something, because I believe there's something about the shout. Now, would you say it with me? There's something about the shout. There's something about the shout. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's something about the shout. And pastor's going to teach it today. I'm going to teach it because I think it needs to be taught. So 2 Chronicles 13, we're going to look at it. And I want to preach about the power of the shout. 2 Chronicles 13, 12 through 18. It'll take me as much time as it needs to take me. And then we will have to go in the back and have fellowship. It's for our missions trip to Dominican. I hope that you can. If you are absolutely broke, come eat anyway. We got a lot of spaghetti. Okay? And salad. We have salad. What else do we have? We have Joni's Jell-O cake for dessert. And we have Joni's homemade breadsticks. This is a very meaty spaghetti. You know, sometimes you get that skimpy spaghetti with just a little bit of old red sauce and no meat for the birds. That's for the birds. We need the meaty stuff. How many planning to stay for dinner, for lunch, whatever you call it? Okay, appreciate all six of you. let me say it this way. You know, it's $5 or your best offering, whatever you want to do. But I need to get this team to Dominican, and it is Mission Sunday. So it's not about your taste. What is it? Gluten-free, isn't it? If you're a gluten-free person, like you, you're like, really? It's gluten-free. I mean, somebody ought to shout about that. So we've taken all the excuses away. If you go home, shame on you. That's all I can tell you, unless you had some other engagements. I do. I forgive you. 2 Chronicles 13, 12 through 18. Behold, God is with us at our head. Would somebody shout about that? Come on now. Behold, God is with us at our head, and his priests are here. We are his people, right? And we're here with their trumpets to sound an alarm against you. And the sons of Israel. Now watch this, because there's a battle going on between the son, Israel and Judah. They're all God's people. But how many know there's been sometimes there gets a scrimmage inside the house of the Lord? And this is what's going on. Sons of Israel, do not fight against the Lord your God. That's some good advice right there. Do not fight against the Lord your God, the God of your fathers. For you can never succeed. You'll never win fighting against God. But Jeroboam had set an ambush to come from the rear so that Israel was in front of Judah and the ambush was behind them. Verse 13 says, the enemy, or so supposedly the one coming against them, was in, behind them and in front of them. How many's ever been between a rock and a hard place? How many's had the enemy in the front and in the back? You had it coming from all sides. Anybody? This is what was going on. And when the men of Judah turned around, they were attacked from both front and rear. So they cried out to the Lord for help, and the priests blew the trumpets. Now, this is a war cry. This is a trumpet blowing, which resembled, hey, we're in trouble. We need the Lord's help. Then the men of Judah raised a war cry. And as they shouted, somebody say shouted. As they shouted, God struck Jeroboam and all Israel with defeat before Abijah and Judah. And the sons of Israel fled before Judah, and God handed over the sons of Israel to them. All right? So I want you to see one more thing here. Abijah and his people inflicted on them a great defeat so that 500,000 chosen men of Israel fell slain. Thus the sons of Israel were subdued. Or I like this and amplified, humbled. How many of you get arrogant and do not consider the Lord's plan? He will humble you. He will lose you. He will use his own people to humble you. How many know God knows what he's doing? He will humble you. And at that time, and the sons of Judah prevailed because they relied on the Lord, the God of their fathers. Here's the deal. Israel was not relying on the Lord, right? And Judah relied on the Lord. That's the difference between these two. And so I believe God has something to say. And the shout is defined as praise. We all know that. We all know about praise. We know praise is part of the shout. We see David shouting all over the scriptures. We see scriptures filled. When I was studying this out, the scriptures are filled with the shout. So my question was, Lord, what is the shout all about? Because I don't hear a shouting a lot at Oak Grove. Every now and then, you know, Randy Barwell used to come out with a shout and help me. Every now and then Max will shout or somebody will shout. It's like sporadic shouts. Thank you. But basically, you know, the majority is shouting on the inside, which makes the morality go down the tubes. I mean, I've seen more shouting at a funeral. And so emotions are low. It doesn't matter what's going on in your inside. Nobody knows it on the outside. And I've been in revival services. How many been in services where the glory of God's coming down, the people are shouting all over the place? So what's the difference between that day and this day? Time. How many know he's the same God that deserves the same shout? And so it's just a matter of what happened. And I just wanted to define this because I believe God wants to restore the shout in the people. A war between two kings because some wanted to follow God and his plan while the others wanted to follow the plan of man. And verse 13 tells us, basically, the people of God gave a shout and God came down to heaven from heaven to earth and smote every one of the enemies. The reward and the response, the effectiveness, results of the shout was a victory over the enemy. Now, I don't know if there's anybody here today needs victory. Is there anybody here today need victory? So if the shout is important, if the shout is important, let's see why, okay? And I've looked up the definition God said about shout. We know what it means. In the Hebrew and the Greek, though, I looked it up, and the original meaning was what I'm thinking of. The Hebrew word from which we get our word shout includes rejoicing. It includes making a joyful noise. But there's a deeper meaning, and it's the word that means to break and to destroy. How many know that the Holy Spirit can give you a breakthrough anointing? When you notice when we're having Holy Spirit-filled services that people start shouting, things start breaking. And as I started to look through the scriptures, I found there's some correlation between when we shout, we destroy the thing that's holding us back. It's almost like the thing we need is in us. When we release it, it breaks the strongholds that are holding us back. What you have is already in you. How many know the glory of God is in you? The power of God is in you. And so when you shout, the walls begin to break. When we shout, it releases a destroying anointing. It releases a breaking anointing that starts breaking. How many know God can break some meth down in this place today? If there's an addiction to methamphetamines, how many know the shout can break it? And maybe there's nobody dealing with any bad stuff, so there's not really any shout. But when you get into a place where you need it, how many know God can give you a shout to break something? It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that breaks the yoke of bondage. So the shout breaks something. It'll break prostitution. How many believe the shout can break alcoholism? It can break the spirit of poverty. If you shout at that finances, you talk to God about it. Let it out what's inside and stop, you know, hoarding what you need to let go. It's basically releasing the power of Holy Ghost inside of your life. You need sickness can be broken. How many believe sickness can be broken? in the name of Jesus. And depression can be gone in the name of Jesus. It's anointing that comes over you, for the Lord has given you. You know, we'll talk about the shout because you'll see all through scriptures. We're going to talk about a few shouts, but the shout is loosening a breakthrough anointing. I believe God is using the shout for a purpose. It's not about your personality of mine. It may be easier for Pastor Ron to shout because he's very demonstrative. He's from Louisiana. He's just got this, you know, personality that, you know, he shouts about anything. But I tell you, it's more than a personality. It's the person of the Holy Spirit working some things out for you. And I just pray God open my eyes so I can see this truth here. How many are saying, God, open my heart so I can hear, so I can see? So let me just give you a few shouts. First, a shout of wartime. It's a shout. Verse 12 said, he will guide you to victory, not defeat. So the plan, the strategy in the war was to shout. And when the people shouted, God began to hear that cry. It's the same cry he heard in despair when Israel was in Egypt, right? In slavery, and 400 years, they had gotten tired of being abused and oppressed. How many know? Sometimes you just got to get sick and tired of being oppressed. And you got to get to a place where you've had enough and shout it out. It's more than cleaning your clothes. How many know it's cleaning your spirit? It's getting what's bogged up and clogged up out. And shouting is the wartime cry. It's powerful to rely on God in times of trouble. And this is how Abijah and Judah look. They look around. They were completely surrounded by the enemy. You talk about trouble on every end. And sometimes as Christians we find it doesn't seem to let up. And Satan wants to do is surround you with things. Satan will surround you with all kinds of things. If you try to come with you at this way, he'll come at you this way. He'll try to get you any way he can. And the solution for the breakthrough is in the shout. It's in the shout. Say, well, Pastor, that's good. I'm glad. That's nice. If you understood, if you had problems in your marriage, you might have to shout them out. You can't just whisper them out. You understand? If you shouted as much in the spirit of praise as you do in the problem of marriage, I wish somebody would help me. You say, I don't shout. Oh, yeah? When the last time you shouted at your spouse? When's the last time you got mad at your kids? I know there's a shout. It's where's the shout coming out? It's coming out. It's in. All of you have personality. All of you have emotions. But we reserve ourselves in the house of the Lord. Maybe it's because of reverence to God in his house. Maybe it's because you don't want to be singled out as the only one shouting. I would think that would be a number one deterrent from you shouting while everybody else sits there. I know I feel it every week. I shout my eyeballs out because I'm a worshiper. And I think God's people ought to be worshipers. I don't think God called us together for you to watch us worship. I think God calls us together for all of us to worship. Shout unto God, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. But you walk in with defeat and a defeated personality, it's hard to celebrate God with people who don't want to shout. It's really hard. And so what it does is it singles you out as a shouter, and you're just a fanatic. The rest of us got our brains. You're just crazy. But this is the deal. If your daughters were on drugs, or your sons were addicted to pornography or sickness, if you lost your job, if you lost your home, if you lost your house, if you lost anything, just to name a few, you would get a shout. It may come in the form of a groaning or a cry. It may not be as loud, but how many know that you start getting into trouble, something will go on the inside that needs to come out. And Romans 8 says, when you don't even know how to pray. We're not talking about praying little prayers. We're talking about getting in a desperate situation where the enemy's in front of you, the enemy's behind you, you have no way out, and the only hope is a shout. And when that place comes, it's a shout of war. You don't get scared and freak out while you're in the middle of the enemy. The enemy is intimidating, but God is the ruler. I said, the enemy is after you, he's intimidating, but God's on the throne, amen? He's the chief. He's in the place. He's in the place where we are. He guides us to victory, not defeat. So the effect of the shout of war is in verse 15 through 17. God will destroy the problems that are in front of you. 5,000 of the best men of Israel out of 8,000 men, there's only few that remain and flee because they were scared to death. See, if you're intimidated, you won't shout. But if you're strong in the Lord, you'll shout and the enemy will get intimidated. How many know it's time to turn the table? It's time to turn the table. The enemy's defeated and intimidated the church. The church needs to rise up and stand and shout and send the enemy on the run. So that's what's going on. It's war. And if you want the victory, you got to learn how to shout in warfare praying. Not little King James praying, thou art the God of, you know, and where everybody can hear you. Can I tell you, when you really start praying, you don't care who hears you. If you really started praying real prayers, you would reveal a lot of problems. This little nice prayer, Lord, bless our food. Amen. Bye. You're in my presence. God, you're out of my presence. Let me go on and eat and forget you ever came in. And America's used to praying these little momentous prayers that last about a moment and then we're gone. But if you really get into war, you'll pray a little longer. Amen. And you shout a little louder. And verse 15 says they gave a battle cry, and it says a shout of war. So we must be alert at all times and aware that this is a spiritual war. The next shout is a shout of faith. Joshua in chapter 6 and verse 5 and 20, you know the famous story of the walls of Jericho. Now listen, this is an incredible story because Joshua, see the shout of faith here. God spoke to him and said what he had to do to get the victory. Now I want you to stop and think about this. They're looking at their destiny. They see the promise of God coming, right? They see the promise. And the Lord says, hey, I want you to walk around this city. I'm going to give you the city. Now, listen, God already said that the city belongs to you. Now, how many know that's worth shouting about right there? So God said that I've given you the city. He ought to stop right there and thank the Lord and shout. But he gave him the solution before he fixed the problem. Okay, Lord, I appreciate you giving me the city, but these 30-foot walls and the enemies on the wall, they're laughing at us. We're few, and we don't have any weapons. What do you want me to do? Well, here you go. I'll give you the plan. Walk around the city one time every day for 7 days, and on the seventh day, I want you to make a loud blast on the trumpets, and when you hear the sound, I want you to give a loud shout. The Bible actually says a loud shout. A loud shout. See, something happens in the spiritual atmosphere when you have a loud shout. It begins to affect everybody around you. It's almost as if faith is just released in the anointing of God. The Holy Spirit is released, and then everybody around you begins to believe it. Now listen, while they were in the tents around the city, when Joshua gave them that strategic plan from the word of the Lord, they had a choice. Well, you know, this is the plan of, you know, I'm not sure. Joshua's really fanatical. You mean the walls are just going to fall? Really? I mean, when we shout, the walls are, how dumb is Joshua? Pastor Joshua don't know what he's talking about. How many know there's talk going on in the tents? It's all about your opinion about what you think is going to happen. But listen, if God said the walls would fall because we shout, how many believe the walls are going to fall because we shout? So there was this communication going on. Well, I don't know what you think, but I think it's crazy. When I get out there, I'm going to go shout. I'm not going to the altar and shout. How dumb is that? Then you just live in your problem then. But I want victory. Does anybody here want revival? Anybody here want victory? If you want the result, you got to do what God said do. You cannot get God's results without obedience to God's word. So he said shout. That's what he said. It sounded weird. With a shout, the walls would fall. Pretty much said, if God told this to Joshua, some people said, you know what? If that's what God told Joshua, that's what I'm going to do. And tomorrow I'm going to get up with a shout. When I hear the last trumpet on the last day, after that trumpet, I'm going to shout with all I've got. I've got nothing else to lose. Maybe the problem is we have alternatives and backups, and we don't need God. I don't need to shout. I don't need to look like a fool. I don't need to do that because I don't care if the walls fall. I don't need Jericho. Can I tell you? If you don't get Jericho, you can't have the promise. You need Jericho. You can't get to the promise without knocking the walls of Jericho down. Maybe that's what it is. I don't understand how the saints of old today say they shouted all day long in church, but today they don't shout at all. Wonder why a generation is not shouting. Maybe it's the generation stop shouting. Oh, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. But if God told Joshua to shout, and the effect of the shout of faith occurs, the walls fell completely to the ground, and the men Joshua took over the city. Hebrews 11:30 says that by faith the walls of Jericho fell at the shout. So shout of faith. The people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. It came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell flat down. And the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. I don't know about you, Oak Grove, but I'm ready to take the city. And you can't take a city if you're intimidated by the enemy. If you're intimidated about people, if you're worried about what people think about you. Listen, I don't care if this place is not full. If it is people that are here with shout, how many believe somebody out there might hear it? They might hear that God is doing something in the house of the Lord. But if he's not doing anything in the house of the Lord, what makes them think he's going to do anything for them? So it's important that you shout. Now, you, after the service, say, Pastor, you're trying to put a guilt trip on me, make me do something I don't want to do? Absolutely not. I'm focusing on the scripture. The people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down. The Message Bible said the priests blew the trumpets. When the people heard the blast of the trumpets, they gave a thunderclap shout. I don't know what a thunderclap shout is, but I'm sure it's not, yay! Woohoo! I don't know exactly, but I can imagine what it sounded like. I mean, maybe it is that our shout is proportioned to our desire of taking the city. Maybe we don't care if we get this city. But if we really want this city, we might have to sacrifice a shout of praise. You see what I'm saying? Well, y'all shout, I'll just be here backing you up. I think this is all or nothing kind of thing. I think it's all of us. They had not possessed a city. They were at the edge of the city. They were at the edge of the promise, of the edge of their next level of their destiny. Can I ask you, how many of you are at the edge? At the edge. I mean, you know something is good. It's, you know, good enough is at the edge. Maybe your situation's good enough. Maybe you're happy with this church, size it is. I've actually heard people say, I love the size of our church. It's perfect. I don't care if we ever grow. You know what? It's not about growing into a bigger church. It's about winning people to the kingdom. I know it's comfortable to have 300, but wouldn't it be awesome if the kingdom was filled with 1,000? I don't know if you believe me, but I'm telling you, your shout can make a difference. Because the Bible says, if one can send 1,000 to flight, two could send 10,000. That means to me, if one shouts and sends 1,000 in fear, two could shout and send 10,000 in fear. And if 300 people shouted, what could happen in the heavenlies if we... This is serious business. Something downside tells you, I'm almost there. You feel it. I'm about to cross over. You feel like you're about to step into your destiny, but you're afraid to shout. I just want you to know, we need to let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Amen? Shout. Let me give you another shout because it's making me want to shout. 1 Samuel 4:5, when the men shouted with joy, the ground shook. I don't know. I don't think that's an intimidated whine. I don't think that's an intimidated little praise. Boy, wasn't that service good? Some were at the altar praising the Lord. I loved it. I watched the whole thing happen. It was incredible how God worked on them. You know, it's one thing for you watch God work on one person. But when God starts working on all of us, there's power, there's strength there, there's unity there. The shout, this is one of my favorites. 1 Samuel 4:5, it says, when the men shouted with joy, the ground shook. The shout of joy. Verse 7, the Bible says that the Philistines were afraid and said, we're in trouble. They shook with fear because the ground started trembling and shaking because God's people were shouting. We have to see that when we shout, we got to take some action. The Lord will strike our enemy with fear, and that's when we strike the best, is when we're shouting. So the Lord gives us authority over sickness, over every demonic spirit. Why are we worried about our image? You know why a lot of churches don't even barely shout? It's because it's not kosher to shout. It's not dignified to shout. It's not proper for us to shout. Pastor, you should put on your pastoral robe and be dignified so we can call you our pastor. Listen, I want to please God. I want to please God and his commands, first of all. Second of all, I would like to take the city. So I'm looking for a recipe for revival. I'm looking for a strategy against the enemy. So there's a war cry when you need him. There's a shout of faith when you need it. There's a shout of joy when you need it. Has anybody ever been so overwhelmed with the joy of God you had to shout? Just shout. I know this happens without being in the Spirit. I've seen people get so excited about stuff, they just say, I just feel like I got to shout. You know, just got a new set of china. It's got a new golf club. Woohoo! Really? Really? How about the souls of men? How about revival coming to a city? How about the Spirit of God sweeping over the whole church? How many things that's worth shouting about? How about last Sunday? A young man is in a coma, gets up out of the coma after they pulled the plug and gave up hope on him. He wakes up and kisses his wife. How many know that's worth shouting about? How about when you have a debt on a church and you can't seem to get through because everything's broke around you, but God's people come through and start the mission of God and he pays off the mortgage? How many know that's worth shouting about? Miracles happen when you shout. When you shout, you're saying, Lord, we need your help. And we understand that our help comes from the Lord. So the secret is to wake up with a joyful heart. What's the effect of the shout of joy? The Lord strikes fear into the enemy, right? In the middle of your tribulations, in the middle, you can have faith. You can have a shout of war. The Lord will make grounds shake for you. The enemies will tremble, and the obstacles in your path, any walls that are preventing us from getting to the other side, they will collapse. Because the enemy is no power against our God. If God is for you, come on now. I said, if God is for you, shout it out. Who can be against you? So there's no reason for God's people to be intimidated, lacking the fervency and the fire of the Holy Spirit. And if I were the devil, I'd shut the church up. That's what I would do. I would say, you know, we're dignified. We used to be like that. Hey, we used to have different results too. Hey, if we want the same results as we had back in the day, we might ought to do the same things we did back in the day. So, I think all generations are facing this. The secret is waking up with a joyful heart, giving those shouts to the Lord Almighty. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's to have an attitude of praise. It's to have an attitude of praise in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the problem. Right smack when the enemy's in front of you and behind you, you praise the Lord anyway. The walls are still up, but you're still shouting. Well, Pastor, that doesn't make sense. I will shout when the walls come down. Well, your shout is too late. They didn't need shouters then. The victory is already won. We need shouters before the walls come down. God will provide. I tell it, shout to the Lord with faith and trust. He knows what he's doing. John 16:33. We would be many troubles in this world. But be of good cheer. For God has already overcome them. And so the walls are there not to keep the enemy, but for us to be tested to see if our faith, if we have what it takes to see. Pastor, this is all Old Testament shouting. It really is irrelevant. We're grace people. This is the New Testament. And they were just ignorant people in the Old Testament. So, that's how we're New Testament people. Really. Can I tell you a story about blind Bartimaeus? Who did not even see Jesus coming. He only heard that Jesus was coming. And he started screaming to the top of his voice, shouting, Jesus, Son of David! Have mercy on me. before Jesus ever did a miracle, before his eyes were ever loosened, the anointing of the Holy Spirit broke blindness. And the man of God could see. And then he took his cloak off and took some action. Not only did he shout, then he took action, threw his cloak over there and said, I'm free. I was blind. I'm reminded of the story of King David when he was caught in a situation, a really bad one, and the king was going to kill him. And he started going crazy, actually foaming at the mouth, you know, and the beard and salivating and acting like he was going crazy. Because in that day, if you had a demon, you know, that was bad news, right? They would put a curse on you if you messed with demons or whatever. So he acted like he was out of his mind. And because he acted like he was crazy, God delivered him. I'm telling you, you sit there in your dignified, holy way, but you'll stay in your dilemma. If you get desperate enough to get out of your problem, when you get desperate enough to praise your way and shout your way and pray your way out and throw that cloak off and say, I need deliverance, then you start getting delighted in your deliverance. You start having a shout of grace. This is my all-time favorite shout right here, because we got to close. And most of you are going to shout when I'm finished. Zechariah 4:6, he said unto me, this continuous supply of oil, okay? The word of the Lord is this, the prince of Judah, not by might. See, this shout doesn't depend on you. It's your shout, but it's his power. So it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit of whom the oil is a symbol, says the Lord. We built the Assemblies of God on this statement. The Assemblies of God and the Pentecostal Evangel every week at the top right-hand corner was Zechariah 4 and 6. Not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. In 100 years, we change the world from 300 people to 66 million people. It came by a shout. It came by a declaration. It came by a declaration of 300 pastors said, we're going to do this, and by the mission of God is going to be accomplished, we're going to reach the whole world. Crazy. They're out of their mind. 300 pastors going to reach the entire world. How many know we're on our way? I say, take that, devil. And our old timers and our pioneers, they shouted and prayed, and they cast their cloak, and they did everything that worked, and prayed, and prayed, and worked, and shouted, and preached. They stood while people threw eggs at them. They were not accepted. They were not the image-driven bunch in America. They were not that. They were hated. They were ostracized and minimized and criticized and put down. But the more the world would put them down, the more our God would lift them up. Because he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The shout is to the Lord. Shout to the Lord, all you people. Amen? It's to realize that the shout belongs to God. It's power-packed. Man, Bartimaeus shouted of faith. The powerful move of God caught Jesus' attention. And the end result was a miraculous healing. There's power in Bartimaeus' shout. Have faith in God before the shout. And then watch God move. So, well, Pastor, you know, you've been saying we're going to have revival in Springfield since you got here. Well, how many know God's not dead? And the potential is greater today than it was 14 years ago. I said it's darker in the Ozarks today than it was 14 years ago. Crime is up. Violence is up. Poverty. Everything. But how many know the shout is not up? Everything the enemy has is gone up. And the victory that the people of God have has gone down. Holy Spirit emphasis down. Shallow church preaching up. Don't make me uncomfortable, Pastor. I didn't come to church for you to make me praise God. Well, nobody can make you. It's you either got it or you don't. And I think the church is content to live without revival. Because if the church really wanted revival, they'd shout revival in. You'd shout it down. I said you'd shout it down. And so I think we're content. But I don't believe we're dead. Before he even saw God in physical state, he shouted because he heard that he was coming. And that was faith enough. But mine is this grace thing. It's this grace thing. I just couldn't get away from it because you can't depend on your own power, but on the Spirit of God. It's a great foundational promise. For the mountain in front of you to be leveled, obstacles as great as mountains will disappear before you. I had some PowerPoint pictures, but we ran out of time, and I didn't download them to you. I downloaded them because they were beautiful. A picture of Mount Everest, the largest mountain in the world. A picture of the second largest, all the way down to the 10th largest mountain. They were beautiful and majestic. They were so beautiful. I thought maybe showing you a picture might give you some idea. Because if you don't understand the severity of the mountain, you won't understand the severity of the shout. If you don't have a big mountain, you don't have a big shout. Now, a mountain I'm talking about, the Zerubbabel is dealing with, is a mountain like Mount Everest. It's not like a molehill. It's not like Ozark's little hills. Hey, when I first got to the Ozarks, I thought they were big. I'm from Louisiana. The biggest mountain was an anthill. Right? When I came into Little Rock, Arkansas, and came up 65, I was just, wow. When I drive from Branson, and I see, wow, big dip, woo, mountain. I had no idea what a mountain was. The prophet instructed the leaders of all the people to do something a bit out of the ordinary. They were exhorted to begin prophetically shouting, "Grace, grace unto it." Not once, but twice. Grace, grace. Or another way to say it is beautiful, beautiful. Or speak to the mountain. Blessings, blessings. In other words, you're calling the mountain something different than it appears to be. And if you don't get perspective of this message today, you won't understand the shout. Because the mountain, God raises mountains up, and how many believe God takes mountains down? So God wants us to have faith to speak to the mountain. Be thou cast into the sea, and it will be done if you believe. That's what he says. So there's something about the speaking in the face of the mountain. They were not denying the mountain. They were defying the mountain. They were defying through the Holy Spirit, breaking anointing, that shout anointing. They were defying the mountain in front of them. So it's not a bless me club here. It's not a positive confession. They were not denying the mountain existed. They were defying the mountain. It's kind of like David, who saw the giant. The whole army, the whole majority of the army was shaking in fear. But one little boy said, "Not on my watch." The difference in what you see is faith or timidity. So, actually being exhorted to shout with shouts of grace. Grace, grace to it. Not to simply say, casually repeat the words. There is a genuine place for the shout in the unfolding of the will of God in our lives. It's an act of faith, a prophetic zeal. And when it's time to shout, nothing short of a shout will do. I just want to ask you, Oak Grove, because it's time to quit. When was the last time you rose up and literally shouted in holy defiance, "Grace, grace," to the mountain, to whatever personal obstacle that was impending your effectiveness, standing in the way of your full expression of the will of God and the kingdom of God in your life? We sing the song, "Your Grace is Enough." Your grace is enough for me. Is it really? Is it really? Paul, in the face of his adversity, said, "You know what? I can't seem to get rid of this problem. Three times I've asked. This thorn in the flesh is not going away. Nevertheless, your grace is sufficient for me." It's the grace of Almighty God that got you this far. And how many believe it's the grace of God that'll keep you going? So to be intimidated is to not speak grace, grace to the mountains. It's a coordinated shout. It's moved with to lift a unified, coordinated shout of grace, grace to the mountain. With a liberating moment, it could be soul-cleansing moment for some of you. Strengthening moment for some of you. His grace is enough. I might have to preach the rest of this. How many would like to learn some more about the shout? I'll have to preach the rest of this later. But today, we need to shout it. I said, we need to shout. Nikki, I think we need to shout. A little bit. So if you're not a shouter and you think this is just a whim, it's not the word, then don't worry about it. Go home and pray about it. But I remember a story I heard of a lot of foolishness came out of the Toronto revival. And I remember the story about the lady who crowed like a rooster. What happened was one young girl crowed like a rooster, and the people around her started crowing like a rooster. That's how we do. That's how we do. So we don't want you to shout today because everybody else is shouting. That's not a genuine shout. You're just shouting because the majority is shouting. I want you to listen to this story. This young girl, every night, her daddy abused her all night long. Every night. Sexually abused all night long. In the morning, about 6 a.m., the rooster would crow. And that's when her daddy would go to work. Every day. So she was invited to this revival. She went to the revival. And she felt the joy of the Lord. And the only joy she'd ever felt before that was 6 in the morning when the rooster crowed. So when she got saved, she said, because that's the only joy she'd ever known, when her dad would get out of here. And we all criticized that rooster crow. I did, until I heard the story. You can't understand my glory until you know my story. I wish somebody would help me here. If you knew my story, you would understand my glory. I will shout and you won't know what I'm shouting about. But if you knew what I was shouting about, if you knew my story, you would understand my glory. And there's some people here don't want anybody to know their story. And everybody else is imitating her rooster crow and made a rooster crow doctrine. Everybody ought to get to church and crow like a rooster crow. Started a false doctrine because they didn't know her story. So I'm not advocating you go around crowing like a rooster. But I am asking you, old girl, whatever is in you, whatever joy is in you, whatever you know is joy, if it could be a rooster in the morning, whatever the most joy-filled moment of your life, when God touches you, let whatever is in you come out of you and express your praise to God. Would you stand with me today, because it's important. I know we got to go eat, but I'm not really interested in spaghetti right now. I'm sure Joni makes a mean spaghetti and mean bread, and all is going to be good. I hope all of you stay, besides the 6 who raised your hands because you're not responsive. I mean, 150 might stay, but only 6 said they was. So it's hard to know where you are, Oak Grove. And I'm not telling you, you need to come up here today to shout. I'm telling you, you need to think about what the shout represents. So, I'm going to pray for you. I don't know your story, so I don't know your glory. You might not have nothing to shout about. But God's been good to me. If you need some reasons to shout, I think they might have been on the PowerPoint. I don't know. Let's see if they're there. Put that back up there, sister. Oh, there they are. Put that back up there. Next slide. There you go. There you go. It breaks the commands of the spiritual atmosphere because God defends us, because God dwells in us. God delivers us. God destroys the walls in our life. And he dismisses the charges against us. Is anybody here glad to be free in Jesus Christ? If you've got nothing else to shout about, you can thank God you're saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. So the altars are open. If there's a shout inside of you, I invite you to the altar. Listen, I invite you, this is specific. If you have a real need today, if you have a real need, you need to bring it to Jesus. Bring your shout to this altar. Don't worry about the person to the right or the left. Come on. You respond as the Holy Spirit. Respond to the Holy Spirit right now. Step out. Step out.